Hello, America. Dave Hodges here, host of the Common Sense Show, and Doug Thornton, host of the American Vindicta Show. And together we are the Doug and Dave Intel Report. And as advertised, especially we're on that telethon today over on Salem Radio, we told you we'd be here doing this tonight. And we're going to get this out as soon as possible because you know there's going to be major lies. You know there's going to be deceit. But it's also what happened when the terrorism attacked in New Orleans. Yeah, well, can't say we didn't tell you so. Anyway, we're brought to you by Noble Gold, coming to you here from the Noble Gold Studios. And I've been an advertiser for 7.5 years, so or 8.5 years actually, and an advertiser for 7.5. And I can tell you this, the federal government wants me to give you a warning that any investment's an inherent risk. They should tell you how the banks can steal your retirement and your bank account under Dodd-Frank 2010. Okay, so we've fulfilled our obligation. Let me just tell you this, I believe the system is in the beginning throes of banking collapse. Do not leave your nest egg in the bank. Get it out. Let Noble Gold put it under your control and back it with precious metals, which will appreciate the value. All you got to do is go to DaveHodgesGold.com, DaveHodgesGold.com. Leave your email, and I'll rush you out a free information packet that will include Noble Gold's number. And I think we're in the red zone, so I don't recommend waiting very long. That's DaveHodgesGold.com. Doug, I understand you still got some classes going on with self-defense training and so forth.
Hey Dave, yeah, Vindicta Solutions. We are kicking off 2025's training, starting at the beginning of March, the end of February. So if you go to vindictasolutions.com, you can see our training courses. We've got, I believe, March, April, and May on the books. We're looking at actually, I believe, possibly in the fall. Right now, we're guesstimating for September for a women's only class.
Oh.
That's the shoot, move, communicate. We've had that requested quite a bit. So this one will be designated and geared specifically for the ladies. So if you're interested in that, please check us out, vindictasolutions.com. And if you have any questions, you can also email us through the website, or you can reach me at AmericanVindictaShow@gmail.com for any further questions.
Sounds good. Valuable service that you're providing there. All right, let's get down to it. Tragic event even led to the cancellation of a major college football playoff game. I guess they're going to play that the day following the event. The Superdome has been thoroughly scanned and screened. Fortunately, no bombs or anything like that were found. But Doug, I think there's a lot more to this than meets the eye. So let's start at the beginning. What's your understanding of what we're being told, and then let's put your expertise in it.
So, in regards to what happened in New Orleans, what we have ascertained so far is that the suspect is actually from Beaumont, Texas. I used to play against Beaumont, Texas in high school and football. So, quite a possibility that I might have actually maybe played football against this guy. He's a Texas native. He was in the Army, he was in the National Guard. I think he served for like 10 years. He was not infantry. And somewhere down the line, he became an Islamic extremist. Is an African American male. I think he's 41, 42 years old. Is supposed to have three accomplices with him, two other males and a female. Now, one of the things that's interesting to note about this is that the pickup truck that he rented, I believe, out of Texas, was from a company called Toro. And this was an electric vehicle. He drove it all the way into New Orleans, down that main drag. And the bollards or the vehicle barriers that should have been in place were not in place. That's a story for another time, but let's just say they should have been in place and they weren't. And so he was able to drive right down the main drag and run over, two dozen or more people. The death toll originally was at 10. A while ago, it was at 15, and it may be growing. We warned about this last year with vehicle ramming attacks. Dave and I spoke about this quite a bit with the improvisation of future terror attacks happening. They're so hard to predict. They're so hard to try and stop. Honestly, law enforcement, we're just a reactionary force most of the time. And so events like this, they're one in a million, but when they happen, they hurt. And it's a damn shame to see people lose their lives. But and this guy, he there's a few things about this guy. For one thing, please pray for the families of those who were lost and the victims of those who survived. This is going to be a very traumatic year for all of them. I can't say how to properly respond to that except for just please lend them your prayers. But this guy is a Islamic extremist. He had an ISIS flag with him. A few things here that I'm waiting to see if they would pan out. You and I were texting a while ago, and me and Jamie Wald and a few others were talking about this, and I've been calling this for a while, but it's just one of those things. Like, this has nothing to do with pride or ego. It's just, in law enforcement, you look at statistics and you look at patterns of behavior. And what I kind of thought would happen is that you would have some sort of a terroristic attack from a veteran. To me, it doesn't matter what race he was, because immediately when my wife, we actually, one of our listeners, she lives in Louisiana. She contacted my wife, said, "Hey, did you see this is going on?" And the first thing I said whenever the attack was described to me is like, that does not sound like the jihadists that we're used to. That sounds like an American-born thing, and I bet you the guy's either black or he's white, and he's an extremist." Well, he turned out to be black. There's a reason for that. There's a level of extremism that it has been carrying on here in America as a sympathetic terrorist cells. And these are some of the things that have been warned about through multiple different agencies for years now. And I hate to see that it manifests in 2025, but we should all brace for impact. It probably will. This is probably not the last. As soon as the guy wrecked his vehicle after running over, two dozen or more people, he got out of the vehicle and began getting into a gunfight with two of the closest responding officers, striking both of them. And they're both in, I believe, intensive care or in the hospital. So pray for their families as well. this guy is what we would label in law enforcement, the military, as a fedayeen. It is a version of a suicide fighter, much like the suicide bomber, except his goal is not to get in a vehicle or have a device around his person that would explode and then kill people along with himself. But his goal is to try and kill as many people as possible while driving this vehicle in what an attack that's called a vehicle ramming attack. And then he would get out and he would pursue killing people until he was eventually stopped. So this is a suicide fighter. It is a tactic that we did see in Iraq and Afghanistan. So this is not something that's unknown.
Well, let me ask you, is the behavior automatically programmed in advance?
I mean, it's hard to say. This guy has been coached and trained to do this.
This is my point. And it seems like you get to the point where the responses are pre-programmed and automatic. At least what I've seen from this case, I hate to keep using the term, but the term Manchurian candidate came into play. If he is indeed pre-programmed, then we're looking at some kind of mind control to achieve some kind of behavioral operation.
No, this wouldn't be something like mind control. In regards to the jihadists, this is something different. They believe what they're doing is pleasing to their God, Allah, and this is how they quickly gain their way to heaven. So this is a religious extremist attack. And along with that, there was a few things I would like to talk about. This is for anyone listening, for your situational awareness. If an event like this ever occurs around you, please take heed of what I'm about to tell you. There were multiple different pipe bombs, improvised explosive devices that were found, that were placed around the city. And I believe one was actually inside this vehicle, inside of a cooler. All right. So let's talk about suspicious packages and how to handle them. If you see anything that you consider to be a suspicious package, something like a bag drop, that happened at the Boston bombing marathon. When you see something like a bag drop, or you see some sort of a package that just looks off, doesn't look right, your spidey sense is going off, If you see wires protruding out of it, if you see some sort of strange liquid coming out of it, something that just doesn't look like your average FedEx, UPS, Amazon box, beware that sometimes these devices are victim actuated. So what it takes is for the victim to pick it up or open up a lid, the curious cat disease, and then it then goes off because it is victim actuated, victim operated. So I don't believe any of these were like that, but the fact that they were found in containers to me says a bunch of things. Either it's a time device, it could have been used as shrapnel, it could have been used as some sort of technique to try and hide the device and also transport the device. In a big block party, who's going to question a cooler, right? Same thing for a backpack, same thing for a sling bag or a fanny pack. You'd be surprised with just this much of freaking, concentrated gunpowder and a steel pipe can do. So if you ever come across anything like that, do not pick the device up. Alert someone who's in security or law enforcement that you saw a suspicious package. Do your best to get 25 yards or greater away from that. Put a building or a vehicle or something very, very hard between you and that device. Because this happened, we're going to see now a few things. There's a possibility of either copycat killers doing the same thing for that 15-minute internet fame. We may see also hoax devices that'll happen. And once again, this is copycatting for that 15 minutes internet fame. But it may also be a signatory for other terror cells who are not linked to this group, but they see it and then they are emboldened by that. And then they proceed with their, orders for their attack or creating some sort of new terror attack.
Do you think the event in Queens is paralleling this as well? I'm talking about the shooting of 11 people in a Queens bar.
Well, here's the thing. That's no different than Chicago. That's just a mass shooting. I hate to say it like that. It's just a mass shooting. Until I know further details about it, I don't really know how to categorize it. But a mass shooting, according to the FBI, DHS, and CDC, is where you have four shootings or more in one sitting. Typically, the shooter is one of the victims in it.
Yeah, but
So.
Doug, it's not quite that way though. This isn't a random criminal event, in my opinion, because it's not every day you have 11 people shot in a bar, and it's happening in proximity to this event.
You said this happened in Queens.
Yeah. Yeah, it's breaking right now. It's covered extensively over on X. And I'm looking at a picture of massive police presence. This is just off.
Roger, I got it pulled up. It was at a nightclub.
At
Ten
least
people
11 people have
wounded.
been shot, some in critical condition. The shooting occurred late at night. Authorities are working to secure the area and identify the suspects involved. The exact motive behind the attack is unknown. Police have not confirmed whether it was targeted or random. The situation remains active. But I'll tell you, the timing of it makes me suspicious. Here's what I've been saying, and this is what I want to throw back to you. Am I surprised by this terrorist event? No, hell, we've been talking about this for years. But the other thing, Doug, is I've been saying on my show, these aren't events aren't going to happen in isolation, one here, one there. I think we're going to see a wave of it. I've called it a Tet Offensive of terrorist attacks that are coming. And this is what I think we're on the precipice of.
Yeah, they always seem to come in threes. There's a link between what happened in New Orleans and what happened in Las Vegas. So in Las Vegas, there appears to be a suicide bomber. I don't know how many vehicle suicide bombers we've had in America. They had that one in Tennessee a couple of years ago. But because of the close proximity of the vehicle to the front doors of the Trump Towers in Las Vegas, I almost think, like, are we going to see someone trying to recreate the Oklahoma City bombing? Ever since the Oklahoma City bombing, the federal government, and this was actually part of my job, they created new different ways of how to defend buildings, not only just, from events like mass shootings, terror attacks, but from vehicle detonations, a vehicle bomb. So, I would expect that Trump's building would actually be very hard to take down. Now, here's something interesting. There's two things interesting about Las Vegas. One, the vehicle, from what we gathered so far from listening to the sheriff's debrief, is that it was rented out of Colorado. They know who rented it, but they're not going to say who it is. They're going to try and find a next of kin and try and confirm if this person is there or not, because whoever was inside that vehicle is just burnt up beyond recognition, besides, I guess, like dental. So it was rented in Colorado by that same company, Toro, an electric vehicle, the Tesla, and then the Ford was an electric vehicle, same company, Toro. So, they're trying to see if there's a link. It may just be happenstance. I'm not familiar with this company, Toro, but they're trying to see if there's a link there. Now, the one of the things that people have been talking about with the Cybertruck is they're saying, why didn't it blow outward? Why did it just blow upward and not cause much damage? Well, the drone footage after the firefighters got an electric vehicle blanket and were able to actually put it out, because you can't put it out with regular water. These electric vehicles are actually causing quite a bit of problems. What we have seen now is that the back of the vehicle was filled with propane tanks, fireworks, liquid combustible, fuel canisters. And because of the way the Tesla Cybertruck is made, it was not allowed to blow outward. So the truck is actually made pretty well, despite what people say, and that's why the blast went vertical instead of horizontal. And so that actually protected the Trump Tower quite a bit. But they said as soon as he pulled up, the vehicle started smoking, and then it goes kaboom. So I don't know if the battery was tampered with in a way that it could be destroyed quickly, or if it was a fuse or a fire inside of it that was lit. That would be something that we need to wait for the fire marshals to come out with their investigation, try to figure it out. But if we see anything else like this, well, now we're starting to see patterns. It was just a few years ago where we had a vehicle ramming attack from jihadists. What was it? In a U-Haul pickup truck that was in New York. They ran over like 14 people on a bike path. So this is not an unknown occurrence in Las Vegas. That same year of the Las Vegas shooting, there was a young woman who ran over, I think, like 30 people down the Vegas Strip. So vehicles are the most easily accessible weapons of slightly mass destruction, I guess you could say, that a terrorist could get. And that's why they're so hard to predict. They're so hard to really try and set up any type of strategic goals of how to defend people from it. This is why situational awareness is so key. I understand people want to go out. I understand it's the weekends, it's the holidays, it's Christmas time, it's New Year's, but this is what we call targets of opportunity. Anytime you have these big events, you have a lot of people in a crowd, it's fish in a fishbowl to shoot at. So always keep your wits about you, 360 degrees of situational awareness at times. Look out for drop bags. Look out for the people acting suspicious. And me, as a former cop, I would not care at all if someone came up to me and said, "Hey, that guy over there is acting really suspicious." Great. Just point out to me who he is and I'll start watching him. We need to know information like that. That doesn't always happen. But it's just as much a part of the civilian side doing their part, looking out for these types of criminals and terrorists, as it is for law enforcement. Law enforcement, it's a cat and mouse game, and we're always 5 steps behind. So, yeah, I don't expect this to be the last one. I think it's going to build up. And let me tell you a theory of mine. I said this on the last couple of shows for anyone who's new to this, who hadn't seen this. I'm going to say this again. I think there may be a possibility that with the fall of Assad in Syria And now Al-Qaeda, ISIS taking over. Dave, almost 20 years ago, I was fighting ISIS in Iraq. I mean, I thought we killed all these guys. I thought, we won. Well, George Bush was a liar, apparently. So with the resurgence of this, and now they own a literal country, I wonder, could this terror state actually be being created so that Trump has to go in and fight, secure, destroy the remnants of ISIS and Al-Qaeda, which ain't no damn remnants no more. There's 10 to 20,000 fighters there. We would have to put boots on the ground to do something. Would this be part of the full destruction of Damascus? If you look at through Bible prophecy, we know the end times is coming when you have the complete and utter destruction of Damascus. Man, if you look at some of the drone footage lately over Damascus, you would say it's a ruinous heap, but buildings are still standing. People are still there. They still have church there. So I wonder, could this be part of something of people trying to push certain agendas to get prophecy fulfilled a little bit faster? I mean, we've heard about these things before. And I wouldn't be surprised if the common people were in on it. If it was Israel, if it was us. I mean, between Israel and America, who helps fund most of these terror groups? Iran, Israel, America, China, Russia. So, I don't know, man. Sky's the limit. That's just a thought of mine. I'm just watching out for that because I think the end goal is always the Middle East. It seems like no one cares at all about Ukraine. The end goal is always the Middle East and the control of the Middle East and the control of Jerusalem. So I think Syria is going to have a big part to play. It makes zero sense to me that we allow ISIS and Al-Qaeda to take over an entire nation, but we did it with Afghanistan under that same President Biden. So that part to me shows patterns. And it makes sense to me that we're going to soon start to have terror attacks that are going to link back to Afghanistan, Taliban, ISIS. I think it's ISIS Khorasan, and then Syria, where you have ISIS and Al-Qaeda and Hamas and all these other groups. I think it's kind of like a projection, some speculation on my part to get us back into Middle East wars.
No, I think you're absolutely right, but I don't think it's confined to the Middle East, Doug. I've done a pretty deep dive analysis with my inside sources with regard to the cartel. The Sinaloas are on their way down. They'll still be kept around for operational purposes, but the new president, Claudia, she's owned by the CJNG. They're responsible for 80% of the murders. They're now issuing threats against Trump senior officials and their families. Mainstream media ain't covering it, but I'm going to tell you who knows about it. Border Patrol. CBP knows about this, and they're telling me this, and people like JJ Carell know this. And what I believe we're going to have to look at here is the fentanyl is not going to stop. There's going to be assassination attempts inside the United States. This Mexican president is behind it. She's owned by the CJNG. She's on the payroll for an estimated $150 million a year, just like Nieto was. And I think we're going to be spread out to have to handle multiple crises at the same time. Middle East, yes. Mexico, number two.
Yeah, I mean, we would be fighting war, I'm going to say at this rate, on at least six fronts. Let's count them. Domestic, okay? If we're going to have terrorist cells, and then we're going to have this mass deportation of what's estimated to be close to 15 million people, you don't think we're going to have any type of domestic uprising with that? Absolutely, we will. So we've got domestically here at home, we're going to have a problem. I think in Mexico, under Trump, we're going to have a problem. I think militarily, it may actually get addressed. You have what's going on in the Pacific. It appears we're gearing up for war for China because China sure says they're gearing up for war for us. There was a report out just 2 days ago that said China is surpassing Nazi Germany in 1932 in terms of its surge plan for military troops, the funding, and all the equipment. They're not doing it for nothing. So we got the Pacific against China, Mexico here at home. And now let's talk about the Ukraine-Russia war. and then the Middle East, and then we've got the Red Sea. We're also doing this in Africa as well. I would be shocked if we don't eventually get kicked out of Africa, but until AFRICOM is completely, taken care of out there, we'll still be in Africa. So we're at least seven different war fronts. You can't extend America like that. And if our allies don't come to call and come and help, we are going to have to pick and choose which battles we want and which battles need to be handled by drones. And that's scary to imagine either way. Don't forget, it wasn't what last year Congress approved the draft for males, I think, up to the age of 26 or 28 to include also females. So they're getting ready for something.
Well, it's by design. I mean, I think we need to take the 30,000-foot view. The purpose of the Biden administration is to facilitate the demise of the United States. And we're seeing, they're really kind of getting started late, though, Doug, but we're seeing the implementation of this. These three attacks that we've mentioned, Queens, Vegas, and New Orleans, I think we're seeing three of what's going to be 30. Or 300, we're going to be in absolute chaos. You know what this reminds me of? And people will scoff at this, but there was an episode, I forget the year, but on the show 24, the show series that for that season opened with at least a dozen major terrorist attacks across the country with a new president. And to me, I'm not saying it was predictive programming, but what I'm saying is I think it was predictive in terms of what we could have been facing. I think this is by design. It's designed to spread us out thin. But, Doug, here's the other thing, too. And I'm going to get your opinion on this. I believe when Trump takes over and he and Putin get together, they're ending the Ukraine war and will form an alliance because they both hate the World Economic Forum and the UN. They don't trust them. Russia has moved in a totally different direction from that. There's no woke in Russia. I think these actions, in part, are designed to disrupt the possible unity that's coming. And I have history for this. When I was speaking at the Reawaken tour, I got to speak with General Flynn for a while. He was on after me. So we're in the so-called green room. And we talked about what happened to him. And he was taken out, and the Russia, Russia, Russia model was brought in to keep Trump and Putin apart. That's always been my belief. They don't want that alliance. And I think this is a continuation of that strategy.
Yeah, I guess we'll just have to see. No matter what good intentions a president has, you always have the deep state that has their goal that needs to be met as well. So I don't know. I don't think these people would allow the carnage that happened in Ukraine and the amount of weapons we've given to Ukraine to not go anywhere and to be recalled and brought back home. I don't know, maybe Trump can have some sort of a negotiation deal and a ceasefire call between Ukraine and Russia. I would love to see that. I'm not counting my lucky stripes on any of that. So I don't know. I'll just have to see it when I see it. But I mean, at the same time, you have provocation that's happening with NATO and trying to do something to stir up the hornet's nest with Russia. So Trump would have to also get a hold of NATO and tell them it's time to stop kicking the freaking wasp nest and calm down and leave Russia alone. But Ukraine just blew up another pipeline. This is a surface level pipeline, but there's still another pipeline that's in there. But you know what would happen if they destroyed all the pipelines, both water and surface? Europe would have nothing.
They
They,
freeze to death.
yeah, it would get cold really quickly. I was listening to a report that said actually because they've had such a warm weather cycle compared to usual over the last 3 years, it has actually emboldened Ukraine to destroy these things. Well, once you destroy them, they may not come back. And I don't know where you're going to get all your power from unless it's from Norway, like what was talked about prior.
Well, I'll tell you this. I don't think this is Ukraine. I think it's the CIA to keep this going. I'm talking about the destruction of pipelines. We know the CIA, blew up the Nord Stream. We know the CIA is involved in agitating everything. They're trying to facilitate this war and make it expand and include Russia and the United States and NATO. To me, it's a short skip to believe that the CIA is in there doing this.
Well, we're helping. Don't think we're not. Who's controlling the satellites?
Okay, but here's my point. You're talking the criminal Biden administration with the criminal CIA. 6-1, half a dozen other, same modality, just a slightly different color.
Well, you'd think they'd be pretty nervous now that Trump's coming in, but I mean, is Trump playing hardball by siding with Ukraine? That's the way it appears. But I don't know, man. It takes one major event to take all prior or preceding negotiations off the table. And that one event that seems to be sparking the minds of these idiots the most is to try and destroy either the Zaporizhzhia nuclear power plant or another nuclear power plant that's within 50 to 70 miles of the border between Ukraine and Russia. Now, just recently, Ukraine flew a gigantic freaking suicide drone into Moscow and struck a freaking building. So eventually, it doesn't matter who's controlling Ukraine, the Ukrainians are doing it. Russia is going to be forced to do something about it. It can only be the spirit of a living God and the restrainer he has on this world that is restraining Vladimir Putin from utterly annihilating Ukraine. Putin says if anyone goes across, one of these 20 red lines that he's patiently drawing in the sand, and look, for people who don't like Russia, I'm not a Russia phobe, but I'm no Russia fan either. I'm just reading the field as it is. It would appear that when Vladimir Putin says, if you cross this one certain line by either putting anti-air NATO missiles into Ukraine, which they already did, or nuclear weapons into Ukraine, which Ukraine now says they're developing nuclear weapons, he said, we are going to be forced to strike. Oh, by the way, London, Paris, don't think you're not on the freaking targeting list. So I say, believe that man. He's freaking crazy enough to do it. Look at the North Koreans that are over there. There was a horrible video that I watched earlier today. North Koreans were in a major gunfight against the Ukrainians, getting their tails handed to them, and they all commenced to committing suicide on the battlefield instead of surrendering. What we're talking about is that you have agencies of people who refuse to surrender, who will absolutely fight to the death, even if it means taking their own lives, and now they're joining the fray in this war. It is a world war. I mean, nobody wants to come out and say it. We are in a world war right now. The whole world seems to be at war with itself. The Pakistan just launched a few artillery shells and missiles into Afghanistan, killed a bunch of people, and now Afghanistan, the government of the Taliban, I can't believe I'm saying that, is now amassing in our former military vehicles to include our helicopters with our uniforms and our freaking M240 machine guns that's mounted on the helicopter. They're going to the border of Pakistan and they're talking about pushing in and invading into Pakistan. So the whole world is at war, but it's all these little bitty ticks. We're not at like Scud missile launching against freaking cruise missile yet, but we're like that close, man. So I don't know what the future holds, but war is inevitable. And it would, to me, I think the thing to watch out of all of this is Donald Trump. Is he going to escalate or is he going to de-escalate? Trump's talk about striking the nuclear centrifuges of Iran multiple times. I understand the want to disarm those crazy people, which, by the way, Tehran is this big in terms of the people, the populace of Afghanistan, but they have an iron glove over those people. But at the same time, believe what those crazy people said. if you attack us or if you assist Israel in attacking us, we will activate our terror cells. Look what's happening today. We'll activate our terror cells and we will attack your people and hit your infrastructure. So,
You think EMP is on the table?
no, you don't need an EMP.
That's what
I mean,
I agree, but this is what the speculation is, and I disagree with it. EMP is counterproductive if you're going to allow China to occupy America, which is the ultimate goal.
so my whole thought process on the EMP is kind of like this. It's either we had to use it in order to neutralize a threat so that we can accomplish our overall goal, right? They don't need the power here in America. They can bring all of it here. So you can either neutralize the threat completely and let us kill one another, let the environment and viruses and bacteria kill us, or you can do limited strikes and hit limited places where you're going to be doing your invasion into. The thing that we tend to forget is that the world is just as afraid of the U.S. military as it is the U.S. gun owner. We outnumber the world in terms of guns per capita, per people's hands, with people who really will use them. That's always in the calculations of these countries when they talk about how they want to invade. They have to have plans of how to take care of us, right? They have seen how we've tried to wage a first generation like war against the guerrilla fighters with, Vietnam to Iraq, Afghanistan. It doesn't work. You can fuel air bomb drop as much as you want, but you're not going to kill everybody, and there's still going to be resistance, and you're going to have holy hell trying to control that country because we couldn't. And we are way bigger, way better trained as civilians, and way more dangerous than anyone else in the world. So that goes into play with a few things. In terms of taking down the power grid, all you have to do is get a few brave souls to go out and find these power lines and either start shooting at them, put some sort of homemade explosives on them, blow them up. And if you do it strategically all across the country, you're going to have a massive power outage that could last a few days, could last a few weeks. It doesn't have to last a month. It doesn't have to last a year. I mean,
But I want to
if you.
validate what you're saying though, Doug, because John Moore, ex-Green Beret, his training taught him that a well-trained team of eight people could take down the grid in a city the size of Phoenix, 4.5 million people. So you're absolutely right on the money. John's been telling me this. We've talked about this now for about 15 years. So you're absolutely right. I want to shift just for a second back to the New Orleans event and the accomplices. Do we know what the status of the accomplices are now?
No, the where the guy lived was in Houston. And the SWAT team, I believe the FBI SWAT team showed up and they detained the people that were inside the house. So I don't know any more than what, the reporters are saying.
Okay.
But believe me when I say they will find out very, very quickly, especially if this is a red flag that somebody in the intelligence agencies had their hand in. Laura Logan said that the CIA was urging the Taliban to activate sleeper cells in the US to attack Americans to be blamed on ISIS so that we can invade back into the Middle East. And I'm
Back
going with that.
to my point about the CIA. Kind of off topic, but going back to JFK, I'll break the CIA into 1,000 pieces. This needs to be the goal of the Trump administration. I'm going to throw this at you too, Doug. DOGE is supposed to be financial responsibility. You got Ramaswamy, you've got Elon Musk, but I think it's a lot more than that. And I think it applies to what we're talking about. You can't get rid of a lot of the deep state that has embedded themselves in the bureaucracies of our departments, like Secretary of State office. You've got the FBI. You've got all these offices. You can't just come in and randomly fire people because they work against your interest, but you can eliminate their jobs for financial consideration, clear the path, and come back and start over. And I think that's what DOGE is all about. using financial excuses to rid themselves of deep state entrenchment in our bureaucracies that have been there for, well, a couple generations now. So that's where I think this is headed with Doge. And I think it's the only chance that Trump has a chance to get a hold of some influence on the deep state. This won't stop the deep state, but it'll put a dent in their day-to-day control of our bureaucracies.
Yeah, I mean, I guess it just depends on how they go about it. We knew during Portland, during the riots in 2020, who was paying the rioters, the Democrats that were a part of it, the offshore bank accounts, and we did nothing about it. I mean, my unit specifically, we were tasked with dealing with the threat on the ground. But there were other units that were tasked trying to find out who was funding them, embedding themselves even into these cells and disrupting communications, or trying to their best to ascertain as much intelligence as possible. But what was done about it? So I put, because of that, I put zero faith in any of these people. But if you're going to do it, then you need to do it right. And you need to go kind of extreme in terms of vetting. Here's the problem, though. You're probably going to have to fire half the government. You can't, and I understand people will say, well, half the government is redundant. That's probably true, right? But you can't understand the level of magnitude it would take to try and interview every single person. Go through their political stuff, go through their social media. That's already being done and has been done, but there's nothing illegal about that. So Trump can't say, if you are not pro-Trump, you got to go.
That's right.
Well,
He
I mean,
can't say it, but you can get rid of those people for financial considerations.
it depends. It depends on who and where you're looking. I mean, probably 90% of the government, you can just glaze over. Because they don't have anything to do with what we're talking about. If you're going to go after people, the sources that you have to go after start with the attorney generals. Secondarily, it's the FBI, the CIA, the NSA, the DIA. All right, you got to go after the intelligence agencies, Department of Treasury, which was recently hacked by China. But unless you've got leads, I don't know where you're going to go with it. There has to be a case there. And if there's not a case there, then they have to have some sort of probable cause. If there's no probable cause, and they just got to sit and wait. Otherwise, we don't have the kind of government that is supposed to be active based off of the United States Constitution, which I would go ahead and say we don't, right? So if Trump's going to clean house, then he's going to have to make himself dictator for a day, king for a day, and he's going to have to completely go forward with it. But just think about the whiplash that could happen if you do that. Now, some people want it. Some people want the conflict. Some people want the civil war. They want the civil conflict. But I don't know. I don't know if it would work. I mean, we've seen other countries try this, like Kristallnacht. We've seen other countries try this. It doesn't always work, and it leads to extremism.
I don't think that's
Extremism leads to
Kristallnacht.
extremism.
I don't think that fits here. I'm talking about I want to get rid of you, but I can't fire you because of your beliefs, but I sure as hell can disqualify your job and say it's not needed, and then we basically use financial considerations to get rid of you. That's not Kristallnacht. That's an end run around civil service job protection.
I could think of many positions in my agency alone that was created for buddies at a GS-14, GS-15 rank, $120,000 to $140,000 a year job to do nothing. That type of egregious stuff happens probably in every single agency. But once again, who does anything about it? It happened under Trump, but he didn't do anything about it then. Happened under Biden, probably happened 10 times
You're
more under
assuming,
Biden.
though, that Trump didn't learn from his mistake or his naiveness. So, second time through, I think it'll be more effective. I have to tell you, Trump is going after the heart of the deep state in many ways. And I'll give you a symbolic example. Nikki Haley's not allowed anywhere near what Trump is doing. Who does she represent? The military-industrial complex. What are they about? Stealing from the American people and keeping us in endless conflicts. To me, that's just one example of what I'm talking about. And Trump needs to negate that interest.
I don't know. You don't have a Pentagon, a CIA. You don't have a White House without the military industrial complex. You don't have an active American footprint without the military industrial complex.
It's not either or, it's limitation upon the abuse.
I agree to that. I agree to that. There should be some sort of statute of limitations for some things, but you can't completely get rid of who makes the bombs and the guns. But once again, it kind of goes back into like the whole new Green Deal thing, right? Like, why are we doing things that seem retarded? Why are we doing things that are antithetical not only to the United States Constitution? It's a huge drain upon the taxpayers. Like, I would like to be reimbursed for the money that went to pay for the Nazis in Ukraine. Since we've given them about $300 billion, and there's just a little bit more than 300 million people in America, I think all of us could potentially get, a couple $1 million, and I would rest my case. But it's not going to happen. What we want to be done, and what sounds ethical and moral and right, probably won't be done. I give Trump, the benefit of the doubt. Knock your socks off. Do all your deep state investigations. You're not going to root those people out. They are cockroaches. They know how to survive.
Again, I don't think it's either or, Doug. I think it's a matter of degree. How much can you negate the influence?
Well, who should go away then?
That's an
Who should
impossible
go away?
question to answer. I'll give you some generalities. Half the
Okay.
State Department needs to go away. Okay. 80% of the CIA needs to go away. There are good people in the CIA. I've known many of them. I mean, they're not involved in the chicanery. They actually do their job. But the agency's rogue. The FBI, let's put it this way. Good friend of mine from college I went to, introduced her to her husband, maintained contact for years. And you should hear what she says about the agency she retired from. It's embedded with dedicated Marxist communists.
So is part of our military.
I think that's easier to correct because Trump will have more control over Joint Chiefs with no interference.
I think you could easily scan social media, and if there's communist leanings, sure, start your investigation there. But you got to then make communism illegal in America, which I'm.
No, you're using finance as the excuse to rid yourself of the rodents. And trust me, the Trump people already know who the major players are in these bureaucracy. Doesn't matter who the president is, these people were appointed by Obama or by Clinton, and they're still wreaking havoc against an existing regime that's not in lockstep with them. And that's why I'm saying you go after. You're not going to get all of them, but I think you can make a significant reduction and hide under the guise of budgetary considerations.
Best of luck. Hope it works.
I didn't say it was easy, but I'm saying I see the pattern starting. And I applaud it because, it's why you shoot a flare into the air to attract the right attention, to show people where you're at, to come and help you. And at least, if nothing else, this is a flare shot in the air, at least Trump is doing something. And Doge is something. See, I think Doge is the most undervalued aspect of what he wants to bring in. And he's bringing in people that are pissed off. Elon Musk has been shunned by the New World Order, which is why he jumped ship. Vivek Ramaswamy, blocked by military industrial complex interests connected to Nikki Haley. I mean, they have an agenda. They have a personal vendetta as well as a mandate from Trump. And I'm looking forward to see what happens. There's going to be no perfect solution. Doug, we didn't get into this mess overnight, and we ain't going to fix it in one presidential term.
No, and the dangerous thing about vendettas and grudges is it can always lead to something way uglier. So I pray for peace, but I always expect war. We can't really deal with politics in our civilian place and expect what we, the people, want done, common sense things to be done, because common sense is not a common virtue to most government employees. But what we can expect is conflict out of it and stonewalling. You know, it wouldn't be surprised if we end up losing the House in the next 2 years. And then, you know, all the stonewalling from Trump's first presidency comes right back and nothing gets done again.
I
And then the
agree.
frustration of the American people comes back. What I would like to see fixed is the border, the drugs, and our economy. I would like to see that fixed because I'm an American and I live here. But outside of that, man, I don't know. I don't hang my hat on that run anymore. But I pay attention to all this. And while the politicians try to fix politician things, which that's like putting a Band-Aid on a freaking fire hydrant that's going. What I pay attention to, and I think what we should be paying attention to, is what happened on New Year's night. And that's these incoming terror attacks.
I agree.
And
Do you expect to
these,
see more?
yes, I do. And I expect it to grow in intensity. The group Forward Observer, which is a civilian information collection analysis organization, they're great. For like $10 a month, you can get their sit reps. Forward Observer. They have been talking about for a while that there's a resurgence in the violent left. They are starting to gather themselves. So the violent left we know are communists. Well, we know that the Democratic Communist Party of America is trying to completely separate itself and make an independent third party. That's going to gain traction. And I think people are sleeping on it, but it's going to gain traction, the wrong kind of traction, because with this communism comes this new form of American utopia, which is a Greek word for a place that can't exist. And in it always comes terror and violence, subjugation, authoritative views. So America is becoming a mixing bowl of conflict, and conflict is promised. So, you know, as Americans, Dave, what I would say is get your freaking finances in order, get your house in order, get your relationship between you and God in order, and you better get your butt in shape and start getting trained, because violence is promised in this country the moment Donald Trump gets sworn in. The Democrats are saying already, we're not going to approve anything from Trump. We're going to stonewall him. We're going to try and do all these things to, you know, negate what he wants to do day one. That's not an active government working for the people. This is factions. We have factions versus factions, and we, the people, are one of the last things that are being thought about.
Well, we're not thought about
So,
at all.
no.
As
So
George Carlin
prepare
would
for
say,
that.
they don't give an F about you. And he says that over and over in one of his routines. And he's talking about the American dream, and you have to be asleep to believe it. I totally agree with that
Oh,
analysis.
lockdowns.
Doug, we're just about out of time, and I think this is a good note to end on. So let's tell people how they can follow you.
American Vindicta Show. We're on YouTube and on Rumble. We also have Vindicta Solutions. That's our training company, vindictasolutions.com. We're also on YouTube, so you can subscribe to that. Next time we come on, we need to talk about the lockdowns and all the weird zoonotic diseases that are coming
Here
out.
they come. I totally agree. It's right there. You follow me at thecommonsenseshow.com. Sign up for our newsletter. One-stop shopping for everything we do in a 24-hour period. Doug, thanks so much for joining me.
Thanks, Dave.